Hi everyone, welcome back to yet another episode of Talking Success. Today we're going on a little different journey. We've spoken a lot about payments, we've spoken a lot about digital banking, we've covered lots about crypto. Today I'm delighted to be joined by Chris Gravenda, who is the CEO and founder of Rentoza here in South Africa. And as you can probably guess from the name, if you haven't necessarily heard of the platform and the business, this is all around e-commerce. So e-commerce solutions for individuals here in South Africa, but certainly relevant to other parts of the continent. Rentoza's got a very different model. I think we're going to unpack that very shortly, actually. I'm probably going to focus on that first and then maybe talk about some of the comparisons of other types of lending solutions or payments solutions that are available here in South Africa, including things like Buy Now, Pay Later, Save Now, Buy Later, and any other acronym that people are coming up with these days. But Chris, listen, thank you so much for joining me on a kind of bright-ish Friday morning in Johannesburg. It's nice to have you here. I think you're in Rosebank, aren't you, from the looks of where the business is headquartered?
Correct.
Okay, how's Rosebank this morning?
So correct. It's busy. Thanks for having me, Darren. It's a pleasure to be here. Always a pleasure to chat about subscription and Rentoza, and obviously, you know, how we're trying to disrupt the space by creating access to what we believe are essential goods to consumers throughout South Africa, Africa, and hopefully one day throughout the world.
Amazing.
Rosebank is good. You know, as a business, we've closed our Series A pretty recently.
Congratulations. I did read that a couple of weeks ago, so congratulations.
Yeah, no, thank you. It was quite, I think, a milestone for the business, not only the founders, but everyone in it. It was something that was quite a lengthy journey, and I think it's came at the perfect time, afforded the business to grow to new heights, which we are experiencing now. So, you know, we're currently seeing the business experience a new record from a sales perspective monthly, which is exciting. And yeah, we have big aspirations. And, you know, to achieve that, we have to get our infrastructure and operational capabilities to those levels.
Let's talk about just a little bit small. Well, listen, it'd be good to get an understanding for those that are tuning in, perhaps are outside of South Africa, may not have heard of Rentoza, in terms of the model and the sort of business. Could you kind of highlight that and give us a quick kind of elevator pitch on Rentoza, what you guys do, what you offer? And then I've got a load of questions sort of off of the back of that.
Yeah. So, you know, Rentoza's South Africa's first subscription service, and subscription meaning, you know, we create affordable, flexible, convenient access to essential goods and products to the consumer market. So what that means practically is through our model, you'd be able to access things like consumer electronics, mobile phones, tablets, laptops, gaming consoles and accessories, appliances, fitness equipment, baby goods, all through a subscription model, meaning you pay a flat subscription fee monthly, aligned to a term that you'd want to access the product for. But the key is the flexibility. So, you know, our purpose is to drive utility to customer, so they can access a product if it's a mobile device, if it's a laptop, to carry out a work or side hustle, or just any form of function. But the flexibility of the model is any customer is able to upgrade, downgrade, cancel a subscription at any point in time. I think, that element of the model speaks to, is quite responsive to the economic climate that we find ourselves in. I think not only in South Africa, but globally, right? What that means, yeah, I think practically if, you know, Darren's got a lovely MacBook on his desktop, he chooses to upgrade, so be it. I mean, for whatever purpose, you know, things change, you are impacted financially, you'd be able to downgrade to a more affordable model, but still have the access to the product to utilize that, right?
So,
in a nutshell.
Okay, Chris, talk me through a use case. You just mentioned, obviously, I've got a laptop, and I want to upgrade my laptop to the latest, you know, one that's being released by Apple. I come onto Rentosa. I obviously sign up. I know you've got a digital sort of KYC process as well. So I create an account. I go through my a digital identity. So I scan my ID card. I scan the utility bill. I take a photo of myself. Upload that to the platform. I then get. Do you run credit checks? Is that how this works? Is this credit backed or not?
Yeah. So, you know, in the initial stages, yes, but we found that it's quite archaic, and it doesn't really align to our value proposition to say that we're creating access of product for consumers. So we've over time designed a behavioral model, and we actually measure banking behavior. So there are certain nuances that we can pick up from a bank statement that a customer links, you know, at the last leg of their onboarding journey. We're able to pick up these nuances and actually identify the sort of worthiness of the customer. It's totally not credit related. So what this means is naturally we will measure a customer on the last 90 days. Yep. And if the customer is able to manage and meet their commitments, manage their subscriptions that they probably have. Most people do these days with, you know, streaming platforms and the like. We can measure propensity to pay. And what that means is we've been able to collect on our subscription book maintain our subscription book at a 95% level for, I think, the past 10 to 12 months now.
Okay, so you've only got a 5% default. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Yeah. We have a 5% default, and but you know, to support or minimize that risk, we've also got teams or field agents who actually are mobilized throughout the country, go out to customer and, you know, execute on a collection of device. So we take that element or that challenge away from the customer. So it's an added service that we deliver.
So, Chris, it's quite a complex platform because there's lots of different elements here, right? So you've got, obviously, the KYC, which you do for your purpose. Then there's, from the sounds of things, please correct me if I'm wrong, but there's some sort of open banking integration there with the bank and the bank account. So you're pulling in and you're analyzing that. So there's probably some, you know, some algorithms and machine learning and some data science that goes on behind the scenes in terms of worthiness of subscription payments. Then I believe, please correct me if I'm wrong, but there's an insurance product as well that sort of sits within Rentosa. Is that correct, or did I misread that?
That's no, absolutely correct. So all subscriptions, well, a subscription price includes the delivery and the collection of the product post, well, once your subscription has matured. Yep. And it also includes insurance. So what that means is if a customer, you know, goes through an experience of theft or loss of a device, they'd be able to reach out to us. We'll run a vetting process internally. The subscriber would be prompted or required to pay an excess payment. Once that's done, we process that new device and dispatch it and deliver it to the customer.
Wow.
So loss, okay. Theft and damage, yeah.
Amazing. I mean, listen, that's a reality, isn't it, of devices, especially when they're sort of mobile devices, if it be a phone or it be a laptop or, you know, even a games console, because I've played many games. You just want to throw that thing right at the TV, right? So I'm not suggesting that people deliberately cause damage. But, you know, these things happen. And I guess you have to protect your consumers and also protect your assets that you're effectively, and I know you don't like the word sort of renting out because it's not rent to buy. Yeah. Although there is an option, is there not, to actually purchase the product at any point? Or
correct?
Again, yeah. Okay. Fine. There is.
So the way we've designed it, like ultimately we've structured subscription terms around the latest releases or iterations of new releases or upgrades by manufacturers. We can use Apple, for example. You know, on Tuesday, they're going to announce iPhone 15. A lot of consumers, myself included, would want to upgrade that. So we've designed the period that of the subscription around that. So you'll see varied subscription terms for across the product categories. For each product, though, there is an option to buy out the device post that period. So essentially what will happen is if I have a mobile device, if I've subscribed to it for 12 months, our teams would get in touch. Do you wish to upgrade your subscription? Would you like an extension? So would you like to access the product for another 1, 3, 6, or 12 months? You know, and then we will sort of complete the journey with you signing a new subscription agreement. And yeah, that's it. You'll have the product. If you elect to buy out the product, we'll send you an invoice. It's quite an invoice for that buyout price. You'd make that payment and we'll transfer the ownership and send you a certificate of ownership once that's received.
And then if someone doesn't choose to renew and says, okay, I'm going to upgrade, and they send their device back to you guys at Renzhosa, what do you do with all that stock? Are you then selling that on? Do you have like a secondhand marketplace for people to come and buy things at a slightly discounted price? Or what do you do with that that stock?
Yeah, so we've got two avenues, something that we've tested, sort of piloting now, and it's internal capability of, you know, repairs and refurbishments. So we've built a little center now at HQ where we see, I think, close to 50 or 60% of our sales. But we've also partnered with repair partners regionally. All product comes in. They get refurbished if it's required. You know, a repair, it's repackaged and then redistributed to a new subscriber.
Right. Okay.
So we've done that. I think we've got close to about 2,000 devices that we've recirculated. So we're leveraging the circular economy. We believe that there's still value in accessing these products. And, you know, we slap on the Rentosa promise from a quality perspective that all product goes out as good as new. So, you know, we were also able to monetize and, you know, build further annuity income out of the product.
Amazing. Okay. Let's talk about sort of the evolution of sort of e-commerce, but, you know, subscription economy. Okay, so when, again, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong here. All my research, I kind of do in the background. You never know if you're reading something that's true or not. But you guys were formed in 2017. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes, we were.
Okay.
Go for it. Yeah.
My question is, 2017 to 2023. You know, fairly long period of time. In that period of time, we've seen this kind of explosion, albeit perhaps not in South Africa as much as in other parts of the world, of buy now, pay later. It's the latest craze. It started obviously in Australia and it's gone to Europe and the US, and we've got Apple now playing in that world as well, and some of the other big vendors. How has that affected your business? I guess, you know, 2017, that probably wasn't even on the radar in terms of that type of business model. And I know the offering is very, very different. Buy now, pay later, you own that product. It's yours. You can't then say, you know, 3 months later, actually, you know, I don't want it anymore. Yeah, you can sell it, but you're going to get a fraction of that price. So I get there's a big difference in the market. But are you seeing from a consumer perspective that there's more options? What are people swaying towards given the economic climate that we find ourselves in?
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host, Matt Heslin, brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. it's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Yeah, so I think we're going to see a pretty aggressive move to subscription. And I mean, naturally, there will be a little bit of bias, you know, when those words come out my mouth. But if you look at the economy, and I think there's a stat out around, you know, if you want to measure credit and you want to measure access to credit and sort of the approval rate for consumers, I think there's a stat of around 27% of approvals for home loans in the country right now. You know, our value for subscription is not being measured on this sort of within the frameworks of credit, but rather being assessed on your behavior right now. So I think our addressable opportunity using subscription as a form of tender is what will drive market share for us in the future. But and that's what we're seeing. I mean, to be honest, we've had a month-on-month sales records for the last four months now. So the uptake is significant. We're currently, you know, sitting on a close to 20% sales jump if we compare our stats to last month. Yeah, so I think BNPL is interesting. You know, there's regulation. There's a lot of big global players that took a pretty hefty knock that's, yeah. You know, materially reduced their sort of market cap. I could mention a few. I'm not sure if I should, but Klarna is one of them.
Yeah.
You know, that went from a 40 billion rand market, a billion dollar market cap, sorry, to a $4 billion market cap. And I think it's primarily around, based around the fact that, you know, how do we collect on that book? And how do we differentiate how we measure and qualify our customers? Mm. Yeah, so BNPL exists. We're here to disrupt that. And I think
it's nice to have something new that's being disrupted. No, listen, it's nice to have something new that's being disrupted already, for sure. Talk to me about the merchant side of your business. So I forget who the distributor is for Apple in South Africa. Is it, I can't remember whoever it is. You're contracted, sorry?
Yeah, it's the Core Group in South Africa that distributes Apple.
The Core Group. So you don't actually sort of buy the stock, do you? You kind of pass that order on and they facilitate that sort of order, and then there's a relationship between you and the Core Group, or do you actually physically buy products and then sell them on? So do you have like a warehouse, or how does that work?
Yeah, no. So Rentos is all risk. We take on the risk of the asset. You know, it's us purchasing not only from Core, but a network of suppliers.
Right.
So across the business, the different product verticals, we procure the product, we process the product, and we dispatch it through our facilities. Right now, we're quite busy on a project of expansion. So we are expanding our offices and warehouse capability, both in Johannesburg and Cape Town, you know, to sort of prepare us for festive and Q4, where Black Friday and Cyber Monday and obviously Christmas are massive trade periods for us. So, it's part of the journey. I think we outgrew our current infrastructure like 6 months ago. But this is part of the journey of any startup.
And is that a big risk to the business in terms of having all that stock? I mean, as you quite rightly said at the beginning of the conversation, technology moves so fast. You know, every time you blink, Apple or Samsung or LG, they're bringing out a new version of this and a new version of that. And I think it's kind of, you know, that sort of FOMO. People want the latest and greatest all the time, even though there's probably not much of a change between the iPhone 14 and the iPhone 15, arguably. Maybe we'll see tonight when they announce it. But I think it's tonight when they announce it. But do you not get left with a lot of stock then of sort of older models? Is that not a big sort of risk on the balance sheet?
I'll tell you what, there's an interesting stat that my CEO talks about, and it's the city golf effect. And we've very early on in our journey, we validated this using the iPhone 6S. Now, the iPhone 6S is what, 8, 9 generations ago. And yeah, it was our fastest moving SKU at the time, and we couldn't get access to enough stock, you know, to meet the demand. And it speaks to, you know, the customer, right? In fact, feature phones are the highest volume of quality or type of mobile devices that are distributed in this country. You know, the stats around, I think, 22 million South Africans are underserved in the country. You know, we talk about access. What is it? It's digitization of everything. So what we're able to do is bring in product, recirculate it, you know, sort of price aggressively and create that access for the consumer. So what we found is products come in, but it's heavily dependent on our turnaround times to refurbish and recirculate. From a new product perspective, what we've been able to do is, you know, based on the sales data that's now given us a level of predictability, we're able to procure assets, but also manage the time that we store them through, you know, proper demand planning and forecasting. And then obviously very, very strong relationships with our suppliers, you know, where we agreed of what our consumption would be with them, you know, sure, based on the 4 quarters of the year. So I think we've got some momentum in the value chain in those areas that help minimize the risk, and the churn is at a high rate. So I think all those elements de-risk us.
I'd like to come back on the financial accessibility side. We've done many recordings over the last few months with the likes of Time Bank, with the likes of the Payments Association, the Banking Association of South Africa, and lots of people involved in digital banking. And I think one of the and traditional banking, I think one of the big challenges that we have here in South Africa is that banks, by a large population, use the bank as a postbox, right? Salary goes in, the next day they go to the ATM and they withdraw their cash out. And there's numerous reasons why that happens. A lot of it is around trust. A lot of it is around sort of education. A lot of it is around sort of financial literacy. But that is a challenge. And I think when you're with your model and you're looking at people's transaction history, or you're looking at their bank statements, is there a way to solve this using some financial education from sort of Rentosa or maybe the wider industry, in terms of saying, listen, if you don't withdraw all your money from the ATM at, you know, on the 28th of the month when you've been paid on the 27th, there's an opportunity now to actually get access to devices that you may not be able to go and afford, because, you know, if you're earning 5,000 rand a month and it's going into your bank account and you're withdrawing 5,000 a month, you know, the following day, you know, probably save it under your mattress type of thing. So is there any work that you're doing as a business, or you feel the industry should be doing to try and educate perhaps the lower LSM for, you know, the advantages of keeping a balance and using financial services and financial products that are offered by banks to further give them access to products and services like yourselves?
Yeah, Darren, you know, I think education is a massive part of I think it's a massive part to solve the unbanked problem in the country. But you hit the nail on the head when you said access, right? And, you know, education is great. But without access to these services, it's futile. A lot of the unbanked falls within, you know, the informal sector. And that's absolutely the type of consumer that Rentosa wants to serve and aims to serve. From an education perspective, and look, just one last bit about the financial part. It's like, you know, you've got to deal with superpowers. And I think that has to be driven from that perspective. And just from an education, you know, point of view, we are on a massive, massive drive, you know, to build the narrative and deploy and deliver it to our customer, to educate them on what the benefits of subscription is, what subscription means, and how it can add value to yourselves, to your family, how it can enhance your life. You know, the high LSM isn't the individual that should have access to a smartphone. It's everybody, because every bank has a banking app. You know, that's what will drive the conversion of the lower LSM. You're able to access your banking app. You wouldn't have to draw your salary out when you go into, you know, an informal sort of setting where you don't have access to ATMs. So I think there's an element of convenience that can be driven for the, you know, a lot of the banks, a lot of the financial institutions through, you know, this problem that we're trying to solve through subscription. Mm. Just the last bit about education, we've gone on a massive drive now to we've tested and validated a retail presence. We've done this with smaller retail pop-ups to obviously showcase product, to have trained teams to actually engage in person with our customers, to educate them, to assist them, you know, across that sales journey. And yeah, it seems to be working. So we are on an aggressive drive to put 10 more locations up throughout the country. We currently have two, one in Eastgate and one very recently opened this weekend at Cresto Mall in Johannesburg. KZN and Cape Town's looking likely to be deployed in Q4. And I think these elements would add value to our customer and help, you know, our brand from an education perspective.
Absolutely. So you're going on the sort of looking at the retail side as well, so physical retail as well as obviously the e-com, which is where you guys started.
Yeah, absolutely. We know I think the stat is sitting at about 95% of South Africans still you know, shop through retail, and that's definitely a very interesting stat and a sort of a presence that we need to build on. So we did test this. We tested it in two locations. It's actually, the channel is growing very well. There's a high level of conversion and more importantly, a great quality of customer. So yeah, we want to build on it and yeah, we're looking forward to that. Quite excited about it.
Yeah, sounds great. In terms of partnerships with other players within the ecosystem, whether it be banks, whether it be payments companies, whether it be other e-com companies, do you see Wentoza as quite standalone, or do you feel that there's opportunities to collaborate with other fintechs, e-commerce companies, payments companies, etc., and maybe even other retailers? If we look at, you know, what TymeBank did with Pick and Pay in terms of you know, getting their kiosks in all the stores. Do you see that as a model moving forward, or again, do you think Wentoza, because it's so unique, is going to stay pretty sort of confined to its own sort of infrastructure and its own products and own channels?
I think partnerships, absolutely. We are always open to it, and you know, drive it from a founder level. You know, trying to mobilize our networks to get some partnerships. Ultimately, we see Wentoza as a method of a form of Tinder, right? And that's what we are working on to try and achieve. So yes, we absolutely, I think retail will be a powerful partnership for us. We absolutely see ourselves having a presence right next to some of the BNPL players, the credit players, where a customer can, you know, shop, you know, use their five senses and then check out, you know, through a Wentoza payment method and subscribe to the product. And us as a business would be all but too happy to manage that risk and manage the customer and subscription.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Last question before I let you go. I always say that, and then there's kind of another 10, but I'll try and keep this on point. Yeah. In terms of other business models. Do you think that Rentoza would ever offer this to SME businesses or micro businesses? Perhaps the risk would be slightly lower for you guys, or is there a reason why you're not looking at sort of offering to SME businesses, PTYs here in South Africa?
No, absolutely. So Rentoza has a few B2B customers, SMEs. I think there's a massive opportunity there for us. I think more importantly, our business model really speaks to SMEs. And, you know, you're talking to the converted. I've been through this journey twice. You know, starting a business, and I remember when I was very young, you know, access to credit, you don't have a credit score. Access to business machines, equipment to set up an office, all comes at a hefty price. And that's what we do. So we do have a B2B team. We've got a B2B channel and product on display on our B2B website. We'd encourage your local listeners to reach out or to browse and shop. And we also take a little bit of a ad hoc approach. We get a lot of inquiries for specific products, and we are more than happy to look at the ticket size and see how we can put that basket together for our customers. Right. And deploy and deliver, right?
Amazing. I mean, I'm just looking around my office now. I've probably got 15, maybe 16 old laptops that are just sitting here, right? Exactly. Because they've died, or, you know, once someone wanted an upgrade or whatever, and literally just sitting here, and they're worth, you know, they're not worth anything these days. They're probably, you know, 6-7 years old. But, you know, having access to, you know, the latest machines, being able to upgrade people, being able to, you know, and I think we need to be cognizant of the times as well. You know, there are companies that are right sizing, that are sort of, you know, trying to, you know, chop some overheads. And, you know, if you've got the opportunity now to go, actually, I've got some assets here that I don't necessarily need. I'm going to, you know, cancel my subscription and give it back to Rentoza. All of a sudden, you're kind of starting from a clean slate. So I think that's very attractive to, you know, businesses now, especially in the current, you know, economic climate.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we've built a team. You'd likely to see a hard drive in the new year around our B2B presence and offering. Yeah. We're constantly reviewing our product catalog. And what we found is, you know, there isn't a specific one size fits all. Every requirement is different, whether it's, you know, a designer, a data heavy sort of a business that needs a more efficient machine or higher spec machine. So we've taken a bit of a bespoke approach. We have the team actively on the hunt for new leads and continually servicing our existing book. But yeah, your use case is a valid one.
So we can
I
come
don't think
to your...
you're the only one. Yeah. That's what I go for.
No. Listen, I'm sure. But what you're saying is if there are some sort of custom requirements that aren't available on the Rentoza website, it is possible to get in touch with your team and say, actually, you know, we're looking for a, you know, an iMac and a... I'm sorry, I'm not pushing Apple here, by the way, but it's just one of my favorite products. Yeah. We're looking for, you know... an LG 85-inch plasma or LCD or QLED or whatever they are now. And I also want a video camera, and I also want this and this and this. Mm. You can go and source those products and then sort of potentially come back and say, this is, you know, what the sort of term would be and the monthly cost, etc.
Absolutely. So that's exactly what we do. We have quite a diverse network of suppliers. So we source and spec the product. We present an offer to the customer through a quotation for different periods, you know, depending on how the customer would want to structure that. We would extend a maximum of 24 months on that subscription. And if the customer agrees or is happy with that sort of quote, we'd onboard them, run them through our KYC journey, which is slightly different. Just to verify, you know, the company details, directorship and stuff. Sure. That's quite traditional. And once onboarded, we will deliver to the customer nationally.
Amazing. Oh, listen, I think you've definitely got one new customer, and hopefully people listening to this may go, actually, that's a really good idea. And we'll make sure we make our audience aware. If they want some more information, Chris, the best place is obviously rentosa.co.za. That's the website, right? We.co.za or we.com?
Absolutely.
.co.za.
Yeah, .co.za.
Okay, we'll pop the links down here. So if anyone wants to have a look, we'll pop them down here. Chris, if anyone wants to get in touch with you about potential partnerships, is it best to reach you on LinkedIn, or what's the best sort of route to get hold of you?
Absolutely. I think even if you know any of your listeners or potential partners want to reach out, there's a ton of content about our business, our progress, our growth. And our future plans. I'm always available on LinkedIn. Very happy to have any conversations at any level. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I've really enjoyed this conversation, Chris. I've learned loads about sort of Rentosa and what you guys do and how you're differentiating. I think what I read online to now sort of hearing it from you, it's just kind of opened up my mind. I'm going, hey, listen, I'm going to go shopping later. I'm going to go and, flick through some of the latest tools and send you guys a shopping list on Monday morning. Listen, I really appreciate your time. Best of luck with the expansion. Best of luck with spending the nice little raise that you got as well. I'm sure that's must be hard for you, Chris. I mean, it's a terrible problem to have, you know, all that money in the bank. But anyway, we won't talk about that now.
Yeah.
And best of luck with the B2B launch and, you know, expansion across Africa and who knows, maybe even further afield.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Darren. It was a pleasure speaking to you.
Likewise. Thank you so much, Chris. All the best.